Amen. Okay. Would you like the latest saga on the Dennis Webb Construction Company? Ladders can be dangerous. How many have a fear of heights? Let's see your hands. How many are afraid to just get up higher than a paint can? Somebody got both hands up over here. Okay. Well, have maybe some things we have good, healthy fear of. I need probably a little healthier fear of ladders. I had one walk out from under me. I'm confessing this before my wife, because if I just told her at home without all my friends to help me, that I would really be in trouble. It was a small ladder, just a six-footer, and it was all good. The ground caught me. I was good. All worked out just fine. But, you know, I've seen people get up and down ladders like they're crazy people, crazy men. Mike Qualls, doesn't matter how tall the ladder is, he can go to the very top, that last rung, and stand on it and work. You know the one that says, here's your sign, stupid, don't stand on this one? I've seen Heath Barnes do it. I've seen Larry Weeks do it. They have no fear. And so I said, have no fear. No fear. Amen. So what are you afraid of? What are some of the things you are afraid of? Making your wife mad? That's a good one. Anybody afraid of spiders? Yeah? Okay. Anybody afraid of snakes? Yes. Anybody afraid of mice? Yes. Rachel's afraid of mice. Oh, she comes completely unglued, doesn't she? If you just say mouse, we have one in the church. We're trying to catch it. And so all you got to do is say, Rachel! And watch her come and go, don't do that. That would be terrible. Do it. So, anyway, how many are afraid of maybe getting your heart broken? You don't have to put your hand up. You've had that. You don't want to do that. Afraid of failure? Yeah, that drives some of us, doesn't it? Really pushes us. Afraid of money troubles? I've experienced in my life, there's no bad feeling like bad money feeling. That just creates something, stirs up in my heart. You know, there are certain things that just really erupt inside. You know what I'm talking about? And maybe you have some things right now that you are a little bit fearful of. Some folks are just more fearful than others, aren't they? And we'll talk about this and try to help you see what the Bible maybe says about what does Jesus say about that. And let me begin by telling you a little bit of a story. It's about ancient Israel. Way back when, the nation of Israel had, they had a division. They had basically a civil war. Those 12 tribes... amazing people that God had led out of Egypt, and they'd seen all those miracles, they let division separate them. Actually separated them into two different nations. There are two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, became one, and they called that union there Judah. And the other 10 formed a separate union. They called it Israel, or Ephraim. And they actually went to war against each other. And Mike, I want to begin at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 2. I know I'm messing you up back there, but let's give it a shot. There we go. Now, the house of David, that's Judah. David, King David, came from Judah. House of David, Judah was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. Let's pause. Aram was... was a Syrian nation, enemies of Israel. But these Syrians, Aram, had politically and militarily allied with Ephraim, which is the other 10 tribes. Now you got some evil people uniting with Jews. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken. Ahaz is the king of Judah. You got all this? Is that okay now? So Ahaz is the king of Judah, and house of Ephraim, Israel, they had a different king. Now they're with these Syrians. They've lied. They're coming against you. I'm eliminating a bunch of scripture for time. They're coming against you. They're going to annihilate you. They're going to take your land, and they're going to appoint their own cousin to be the king. But the people were shaken as the leaves of the forest are shaken by the wind. Shook. When I had that little bitty tumble with the ladder, I was a little bit shaken. Have anybody ever felt that way? That can really stir up some real feelings and inspire us to think and say and write things. For example, maybe you've heard this great old spiritual. My tongue gets tied when I try to speak. My insides shake like the leaf of a tree. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Come on, let's show his picture. Who was that? His name, Mike, is Elvis. There he is. That's the king, that great theologian. Huh? There's only one cure for this body of mine. That's to have that girl that I love so fine. She touched my hand, and what a chill I got. Here's the part I really like. Her lips are like a volcano that's hot. I'm proud to say she's my buttercup. I'm in love. I'm all shook up. I'm titling this message, I'm in love. I'm all shook up. I could tell by your response, like, what is spiritual about that? Not much. There's not going to be a whole lot in this sermon. It's not a good one. It's all over the place. I'm just warning you, but it's what I'm bringing. I do honestly believe there's something for every single person here today. I'm believing, and I believe the Lord said, you just give it. There's something for everybody. Fear is a great motivator. But the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. God is against fear. Yeah, he created the ability to feel fear. When I got a little bit shook like the leaves on a tree when I fell off of that ladder, I felt a little bit of fear, and it caused me to react. So I grabbed hold of something, and then I just gently set myself on the ground. Baby, you should have seen it. It was an athletic wonderment. But oh boy, I'm going to get a lecture when I get home. But so I'm not saying all fear is wrong. God gave you the ability. Why? So you can make some good decisions. For example, if you see a big truck coming down the road and you think, well, I got to walk across the road, what do you know is going to happen to you when you meet that big truck? That can cause let's don't do that. Let's don't stand on the top rung of a ladder. So there's some of that. But the Lord says, don't let it rule your life. Let fear serve its purpose for you. But don't let it rule your life. Why? Because you're in love and you're all shook up. And we're going to return back to the text here. And let's read that, and then let's see what there is for everybody. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son Shear-Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct in the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid. Can we all say that together? Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. That's those two kings that were going to come against them. What's the Lord call them? They just stubs. You know, they're about to go out. They're going to go out. They're not even going to, there's no fire in these guys. Because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah, that was the kings, Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's sons have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tobiah king over it. Yet, this is what the sovereign Lord says, it will not take place. It will not happen. Will you say that with me? It will not happen. Maybe after today, you walk out of here, that's what you needed to hear. It will not happen. You might be up against something that's causing great fear in your life, but what does the Lord say? It will not happen. And we're going to tell you from the scripture how you can walk in that and believe it. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. That's just the Lord saying, those two people and their kingdoms and their capitals, it will not happen. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. One morning I got up, and I was really facing some difficulties. This is quite some time back, and I don't remember what it all was. But I had some things that, oh, boy, if this goes wrong, if this goes south, if this doesn't fix, I don't remember what it all was. But I do remember this. I got up that morning, and I said, you know, as I usually do, sometimes I just open the Bible. And I look down, and I say, Lord, speak to me. And that's not the way to study the Bible. But sometimes if you've underlined things, because the Lord has spoken to you in your study, underline that stuff. You can come back to it. It spoke to me once. It speaks to me again. And I looked down in the midst of all that potential fear, and there's what it said in underline. If you do not stand firm, Dennis, in your faith, you are going to fall. The Lord was saying, it will not happen. I'm still God. I just need you to stand firm in your faith. That's the message. There's things that will shake you like leaves on a tree, but God says, just stand firm. How to stand? In your faith. Believe God. Yeah, I see some folks fanning. Can I get an usher or two to turn the air conditioning on? Can I get an amen for that in the house of God? You like that idea? If you like it enough, I'll run the offering plate back by. Okay, thanks, guys. Thank you. Okay, all right. So I've trained you to, when I give you something, a truth, that your answer is always be, okay, show me, Pastor. We're from Missouri. Show me. How can I stand firm in my faith? I'm going to show you that here today. And it is in that phrase, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. And you say, oh, well, that sounds easy, but this is really difficult. Why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult for you to simply be calm? And what did it say? Be careful. Don't be afraid. And the answer to that question, my friend, is you're trained wrong. You've been trained that when there's a potential, a temptation for disaster, you've been trained, oh, I got to meet this with fear. Oh, I got to worry my way through this. Oh, I'm a mess. Anxiety, panic attacks. And the reason is you've been trained to respond in the wrong direction. Well, who's trained you? You have, first of all. You're guilty. You're the one who decided you're going to face life like that. You're going to be a worrier. Maybe you got some help from others. Maybe your mom and dad helped you learn to be fearful about things and to react and deal with life from fear. But guess what, Marines? You can be retrained. And that's what I want to do right now. The first thing that I want you to see from that scripture is when you are facing a scary situation, be careful, keep calm. First thing he said there, be careful. What does that mean? Let me show you what it means when it says be careful. I've got an image of it. Danger ahead. When you're facing a fearful thing and you want to worry about it, first of all, be careful. Is the reason he said be careful? That's the first thing he said. Why? Because there's danger ahead. Be careful. You know what the danger is? That you will not stand firm. The danger is that you will make a bad decision. You'll step in a bigger hole. You'll make the hole bigger. How many know that you're in a rough spot? You can make it worse. The first thing you want to do is say, okay, I'm in a bad spot here. I'm about to fall off this ladder. My finances are about to be a disaster. whatever it is, the Lord says stand firm in your faith, and the first thing is be careful. Don't make it worse. You can make a hasty decision, and you can go off and do something done. I'm just going to lay this out for you, A, B, C, and then you tell me if this works for you. Years ago, I was working with some folks in a drug and alcohol recovery. And one guy was giving his testimony and says, I figured out my problem. I was born with the stupid gene. And I always do the stupid thing. No, you wasn't. Nobody has a stupid gene. But you weren't careful. And you made some hasty decisions. You should have said, stop. Let's be careful here. And he also said, keep calm. Let me show you the image of keep calm. How many of you have seen that on a t-shirt? Yeah, you've seen it all over. This meme has been changed so many ways. Keep calm, drink gin, I saw one. Keep calm, pray. Keep calm, do something else. It's cool. Does anybody have any idea where that came from? Well, it's in the Bible, but not that one. You see the crown? Have you ever wondered what that's about? I'll tell you. This was a phrase that was captioned in 1939. The British government, knowing that World War II was about to come, the British government says we need to do something to encourage the people to keep up that English stiff upper lip, that stoic attitude. And indeed, the Nazis did bomb England. But they printed 2.5 million of these posters. Keep calm and carry on. Here's the problem. They didn't distribute them. Some of them got out, but it really fell flat for whatever reason. The distribution just wasn't there. And those posters, 2.5 million, virtually disappeared until the year 2000. And someone found one. And I guess they said, like Forrest Gump, that would be a great t-shirt. And since then, there's been millions and millions of t-shirts shown. What is that? That just shows me what our faith is like. We're supposed to stand firm in our faith, and we say it, and we write it down, and we put it on a t-shirt, and then we forget for 50 years or whatever, 50 days. Keep calm. I'm hoping you remember that. Next time you see the t-shirt, or next time you hear that great song, my hands are shaking and my knees are weak, whatever, that you'll remember. I am so in trouble when I get home. Okay, be careful, keep calm. Number two, he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Now, understand something. Your feelings, your emotions are almost uncontrollable. They're kind of like your two-year-old children were. Because emotions are just emotions. They're not very smart. They will believe anything they're told, right? You can get completely heart strong about something and it was totally false. Somebody can say, you can hear somebody say, oh, so-and-so said something bad about you. They said blah, 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 blah. Man, you're all upset. Your emotions get all fired up. And it was never true, you find out. So emotions are just what they are. What the Bible is telling us here is don't live in the faith. Don't be fearful. Don't continue to act and respond in fear. This is saying stand. All right. So here you go, children. You're on a ladder. That ladder might be your finances, your marriage, your job, something going on. You know, there's some real insecurity. What's the Lord say to do? Be careful. Don't go make it worse. Be calm. Give the Spirit of God a chance. And then number three, don't live in fear on this. Just stand in faith. Now, this is pretty simple. I know, but I believe that as we're going along, people are picking up something from the Lord today. And then the third thing is this. Ask for a sign. Ask God for a sign. Let's look at the rest of the scripture, beginning of verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. All right, there's that prophecy in Isaiah that came true in Jesus. He was born of a virgin. It was a miracle. And what did they call him? They called him exactly what God told Isaiah to tell him. His name's going to be Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. God with us. So get this picture. Ahaz is the king of Judah. He's the good guy. Isaiah comes and says, don't be afraid here. Stay calm. Do something ignorant. You can make this worse. Stand in your faith. Stand and believe God. And then Isaiah says, and God says, did you notice that? And the Lord spoke to Ahaz. This is through Isaiah. Ask me for a sign. It can be higher than high and lower than low. I don't care. You ask me. What did Ahaz do? He said, oh, no, man. We're not supposed to put God to the test. We're not supposed to test God. Ahaz was right. Scripture says, don't test God. Don't just lay something out there and say, if you're God, show me this. Or God, if I'm going to marry this person. I know they're not a believer, but I'm going to ask you, I'm going to test you, Lord, and you'll save them. That's not the kind of test that the Lord is saying ask. He's saying, Ahaz, ask me for something, I will do it. Christians, I'm asking you to stand and be calm and not be fearful. And you stand and you just say, Lord, okay, I'm going to do my job. I'm going to stand in faith. And now, Lord, I'm going to ask you, show me something. Just show me, Lord. Show me that you are going to work this out. Show me how you want to work this out. Whatever, Lord, you just show me that you are God. It's not so that I will stand in faith. I'm going to stand in faith, and then I just ask you, Lord, reveal yourself. That's the kind of response that God likes to respond, a request he likes to respond to. God loves to show up in our lives and show us, I'm God. See there? I promised you a good future in me. I promised I would not harm you. I would prosper you, give you hope in the future. Ask me and I will show you. You wait and you faith. Faith just opens the door for God to move in miraculous manners in your life. I don't know what you might need to ask him for, but ask him. Stand in faith. Ask him. Let me finish with one last thing. This is my favorite part, I think. It's kind of obscure. I told you this was all over the place today. Number four, take your son with you. The Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz. Isaiah, he's going to be up there at that pool where the water comes out and it's clear, crystal little creek, and they wash clothes, the launderer's creek down below. And whatever reason, God knew that Ahaz would be there. He said, I want you to go there and take your son with you. Now, there's something inherent in the son's name, as all the Hebrew names are. And his son and his boy's name meant a remnant will return, which is the Lord saying, you take your son. That's going to be a message to the people. Stand in faith. The Lord will return. He will bring this all back together. But I want to tell you, there's another reason for this. Dads, God is saying to you, exemplify these things around your house. Learn to be careful. Learn and exhibit to be calm. Learn to not live your life by fear, but by faith. Learn to stand your ground and take your son with you so he can see it. So your son can be trained. So your daughter can be trained. Let your children See how to do life by watching you and mom. Live this out. Somebody trained you to be fearful. Stop that generational curse now. You be a Christian that says, I will show my children, my grandchildren, how a man or a woman of God stands in faith. And by the way, hillbillies, we have already received a sign about this. We already know the sign that Isaiah was talking about. He said, God said, okay, Ahaz, you don't want to ask for a sign. I would have done something for you, but I'm going to give a sign to everybody at New Beginnings and the world that one of these days a boy is going to be born from a virgin, no less. He comes directly from God. His mama will be Mary. He will be born in Bethlehem. He will grow and become the Savior of the world. And when he grows up, people are going to say, Emmanuel, God is with us. So my friends, you can stand firm in your faith because God is with you. That's how we stand. And today, if maybe what you really need to do is say, I'm not walking in faith, I'm walking in fear. Maybe you need to start by making sure that you know this Emmanuel, this Jesus. He was told he would come. You've got your sign. He came. It's so clear that Jesus lived and died and was resurrected. And maybe today you need to put your faith in him. And maybe you're the one walking in fear. You don't want to do that anymore. You want to start training yourself. I'm going to stand in faith. I'm going to put my trust that Emmanuel, God is with me. That Jeremiah 29 said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans not to hurt you, but to prosper you, give you a hope in the future. That's what you put your faith on. The promises of God, you put them in Jesus and his unending love. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I just thank you that there's something for everyone that we need to retrain ourselves. We need to do something. And I pray this morning if there was someone that doesn't know Jesus, he'll say, this is my day, or she'll say, I want to now. As a prayer team comes forward, there will be someone here to pray for them and pray with them and help explain how they can know Jesus today. Maybe some just say, I've not been taking my stand. And I want to come and stand before the altar of God and stand in faith, believing whatever I'm going through, that God is going to be with me, that God has a plan, and he will prosper me. He will give me a hope and a future. It looks good in Jesus. So prayer team, you come. And folks, if you need to come and pray now, you come.